I want to invite you to take your Bible and stand. We're going to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. I want to begin a new series of messages on life's greatest questions. Life's greatest questions. And we're going to the book of Genesis. And I want to call your attention to verse 1 through 5. This is what the scripture says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I want to talk to you today about where did I come from? Where did I come from? A father and his son were out one day fishing, and the son looked over to the father and he said, "Dad, how does this boat float?" He said, "Son, I don't know." He said, "Well, Dad, I want to ask you another question." He said, "These fish that are out here today, they're underneath the water. How do they breathe? How can they breathe underneath the water?" And the dad said, "Well, I don't have a clue." He said, "Well, Dad, I look up in the sky, and the sky is very blue today." He said, "Why, Dad, is the sky so blue?" And he said, "I don't know." Then he said, "Dad, I hope you don't mind all these questions." He said, "Well, son, certainly not. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything." Well, you know, when we think about questions, there are 3,294 questions in the Bible. The Bible is filled with questions. And I want to take the next 4 weeks, and I want to talk to you about life's four greatest questions. Because I think there are four questions that we all have. I think we all have the question, "Who am I?" or "Where did I come from?" Because before you can ask, "Who am I?" you've got to ask, "Where did I come from?" Question number two is, why am I here? What is my purpose for being upon this earth? Question number three, is there a right and a wrong? Or is everything just relative? Is there a right? Is there a wrong? And then question number four, what happens when this life is over? Where do I go from here? Now, question number one, where did I come from? It's paramount. Because unless we get this question right, the other three really don't matter. See, think about it, folks. If you just evolved, hypothetically, you just evolved. Well, if that happened, there is no God. And if that happened, there is no need for God. And if that happened, there are no absolutes concerning right and wrong. And if that happened, there really is no meaning to life. And if that happened, there's certainly no life after death. So I want us to look at this question. Where did I come from? And folks, I want us to look at what the Bible says. See, I'm not smart enough to teach or preach anything but the Bible. But I'm too smart to teach or preach anything but the Bible. I'm not smart enough to teach or preach anything but the Bible. But I'm too smart to preach or teach anything but the Bible. And I want us to see three things primarily. The first thing I want you to see is this. Before the creation, there was a maker. Before the creation, there was a maker. It's more than a power. It's more than a process. It's a person. Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I've been asked 1,000 times, where did God come from? In the beginning, God. You say, well, my 6-year-old can't understand that. Neither can your 60-year-old. But it doesn't change the fact, in the beginning, God. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. In the beginning, God. God didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. He didn't start with start. He started start. Before there was a was, he was. In the beginning, God. Say, well, Pastor, do you believe in evolution? Well, you've got to understand evolution. I believe in microevolution. When I say microevolution, I believe that plants, I believe that animals certainly evolve, they mature, and they change over time. I believe in microevolution. But I don't believe in macroevolution. You say, what are you talking about there, Pastor? I don't believe that living matter evolved from dead matter. I don't believe living matter evolved from dead matter in light of what the Word of God says. Notice what Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 says. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. If you study the creation story, that analogy, after its kind, is mentioned 10 different times. What it's saying, ladies and gentlemen, if a cat was created a cat, it stayed a cat. If a puppy was created a puppy, it evolved into a dog. But never, ladies and gentlemen, everything was created after its kind. A dog never evolved into a horse. It was created after its kind. By the way, a bulldog's not smart enough to become a horse. Here's what you've got to understand, folks. We believe in mutation within the species, but we don't believe in transmutation outside of the species. Now, see, there's some, you say, well, you're taking the Bible. Yeah, certainly I'm taking the Bible. But folks, there's all kind of flaws in evolution. And I want to go on record as saying, for you out there that believe that, I don't have enough faith to believe that. No, it takes a lot more faith to believe that than to believe we were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. But see, folks, there's all kind of flaws. There's the fossil flaw. The fossil flaw basically says that we started out as animals and we became people because we evolved. But here's what I say. Why don't we have intermediate fossils. Surely if the evolutionists are right, and this earth is millions of years old, certainly in the crust of the earth, we can find intermediate fossils. Darwin, when he taught evolution, he said eventually they will find intermediate fossils. That is to say, a fossil that's half fish and half bird. But in all the years, we can't find an intermediate fossil. Because, folks, it's not reality. And then we have the dead life dilemma. There is no scientific evidence. None exists that life did or can evolve into existence from non-living matter. There's never been a substantiated case of a living thing being produced from anything other than a living thing. A little boy goes to his mom and says, "Mom, where did I come from?" She said, "Well, son, God made Adam and Eve. And that's how mankind came into existence." Then he goes to his dad and he said, "Dad, where'd I come from?" He said, "Well, son, they were monkeys. And you evolved from monkeys." This confused little boy goes to his mom and he said, "Mom, I'm so confused. Dad said that we came from monkeys and you said we came from Adam and Eve and we were created by God." She said, "Oh, son, don't be confused. Your dad told you about his side of the family. I'm telling you about my side." Oh, no, no, folks. I want to go on record as saying we believe we're wonderfully and gloriously created by God. You've got a preacher that believes that, and I'll believe that when they place me in the box. I'm not one of these, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey in a banana tree, and now I'm a pastor with a PhD. That's not me. See, behind the creation, there was a maker. I want you to know something else. Behind the creation, there was a method. Look what verse 2 says. "And the earth was without form and void." God created the world. It was formless and empty. Now, here's what's interesting, folks. I wish I had time to deal with the gap theory. I don't have time to deal with that. But here's what's interesting. God takes 3 days, the first 3 days, and he forms the earth. He takes the next 3 days, and he fills the earth. God does everything decently and in order, folks. God's a God of order. See, on day one, he created the light and the darkness. But on day 4, the sun, the moon, and the stars. On day 2, the air and the water. On day 5, the fowls and the fish. On day 3, the land and the plants. On day 6, man and animals. He took 3 days to form it. And then he took 3 days to fill it. Say, "Pastor, so you believe this wonderful world was created in 6 days?" Unequivocally. Unequivocally. Because, see, folks, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. And you know what I'm learning, folks? Every day, and the more I preach the Bible, the more I'm a minority. The more I'm a minority. Because you stand for the Bible. But I'm going to stand for it. I'm going to stand for it. I believe the Bible. Oh, it is divine. heaven's golden sunlight in its pages shine. Light's my way to victory, and I'm going through. I believe the Bible, for it's ever true. See, I want you to notice something, folks. I want you to notice Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. Look what it says. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. See, folks, if you go to Israel, and I hope you go with me sometime, but if you go to Israel, the day over there begins in the evening. Yes, the day kicks off in the evening. It starts in the evening. You say, well, Pastor, they're mixed up over there. Why would you start the day in the evening? Oh, they go to the Bible. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I'm talking a 24-hour period. And the Jewish day to this day begins at nightfall. Now, I've often said, somebody said to me, well, Pastor, there were probably thousands and thousands of years between the days. Oh, no, no. There weren't thousands. Remember, God is a God of order. On day three, he created the plants. On day three, he created the vegetation. Well, folks, there's a reason why on day four, he created the sun. The plants weren't there for thousands and thousands of years. They wouldn't have existed. On day four, he created the sun because the vegetation was going to need the sunlight. He did it, folks, in six 24-hour days. Moses, who, by the way, what does he have to do with this? He wrote this book. He wrote this book that we're studying. Moses believed unequivocally that God did it in 24 hours, 6 days. Notice what he said, folks. In Exodus chapter 20, we get the Ten Commandments. And commandment number 4 is honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor the Sabbath. Have a 24-hour period that you set aside for rest and rejuvenation and worship God. And I believe this, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This: whatever you do in life, businessman, hunter, whatever you do, if you'll give God that day, you'll do better in the other six. Truett Cathy got it right. Amen? You say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. It's the only day I've got for... No, no, you don't understand. It's not your day. It's God's day. You're welcome. Now look, in six days, the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the Sabbath day. He took six 24-hour days, and he made everything. I was studying about his creation. This just blessed me to death. I was looking at Genesis 1 and 16, and listen to what it says. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And it's almost like an afterthought, folks. He made the stars also. He made the stars. He made the planets. Jupiter, 1,300 times larger than Earth. He made it also. He made it also. He made the Milky Way galaxy. And that's the stars that we see. And when we go out and see a star, that thing is 300 million miles across. There are at least 1 billion galaxies. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 19 and 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. the ozone layer 40 miles above the earth. If it was compressed, it's less than a quarter of an inch thick. And it protects us from 8 killer rays from the sun. If the sun was 100 miles farther away, this earth would be in a constant freeze. If the sun was 100 miles closer, everything would be scorched, including you. Even the location of the moon determines how far the tides come and go, which determines how much the ocean aerates and receives, and oxygen goes out to the plant kingdom. Folks, this is not coincidental. This was providential, created by God. I want you to see one other thing. One other thing. Beneath the creation, there's a message. Now, here's what I want you to see, folks. Genesis 1 and 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Who's he talking to? He's talking to his son, Jesus. "Let us make man in our image." We were made in the image of God. The problem with most of us is we've made God in the image of man. We were made in the image of God. See, folks, if we evolved from animals, why aren't we just a slightly bit more complex? If you evolved from an animal, why are you not just slightly bit more complex? Why do you like art? Why do you like music? Why do you like poetry? Why do we want the walls to be a certain color? Why do we go to museums and concerts? Why do we feel guilty? Why do we have remorse if we're just a little bit more than the animals? Why can we read and write? Why can we operate a computer if we're just a little bit more than the animals? I'll tell you why, folks. Because you and I were created in the image of God. Where did I come from? You were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. And get this, folks, if you don't get anything else, you were created in the image of God. I want that little old boy, I want that little old girl to know that you're special. See, they may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. Because you were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. And I'm going to be talking to you next week about why you were created and what your purpose was, what your purpose is. The only way I want you to miss it if there's a death in your family and it's you. See, I want you to get this. This Bible was written by 40 different men over a 1,500-year period on 3 different continents in 3 different languages, and not one contradiction in the entire book. And we miss it, folks. We miss this. Even in the very beginning, God's trying to get you the gospel. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created. Folks, God created you. God created me. But look what verse 2 says. "And the earth was without form." That means it was dead. Ladies and gentlemen, God created you, but you were dead in trespasses and sin. God created you. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Get this. This is not coincidental. The earth was without form and void. What does void mean? Void means empty. God created you. You were dead in trespasses and sin. And you were empty inside. And ladies and gentlemen, we go out and we try to fill that emptiness. What many times do we try to fill that emptiness with? Notice what it says. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. We go out, ladies and gentlemen, because we're empty. And we try to fill that emptiness with darkness. But it only leaves us emptier. And notice what the scripture says. And the Spirit of God moved. What happens in our lives? Some of you are uncomfortable right now. And you think it's the preacher making me uncomfortable. And it has no more to do with the preacher than anything. It's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God deals with our heart. And the Spirit of God will talk about that you need help. The Spirit of God makes you feel so uncomfortable inside. You didn't even want to be here. And now you're here and the Spirit of God's making you feel uncomfortable. And that's the Spirit saying, you just need to come to the Lord. You need to come to the Lord. And the Spirit of God moved. And then look what verse 3 says. And God said, let there be light. And that light is Jesus Christ. You know what I know, folks, as our musicians are coming? It took a miracle to put the stars in space. It took a miracle to hang the world in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. And friend, God created you because he wants a relationship with you. And that relationship is through Jesus Christ. I told you that we were empty, we were dark. See, God created us, and we were sinners. But Jesus Christ came, and he reached one hand to a holy, perfect God, and he reached the other hand down to sinful man, and he reconciled us to God. He reconciled us to God on the cross. Now here's what I want you to know. You can believe what you want to believe. But here's what I know unequivocally. Because God created you, and because God created me, God doesn't create junk or sponsor flops. Because God created me, and God created you, we're going to live forever. There was a time that we was not, but there never will be a time that we will not be. And friend, you're going to live forever. And you've got to decide where you're going to live forever. That decision is up to you. Now, the decision's made that you're going to live forever. But where you're going to live depends upon you. And it depends upon whatever you do with Jesus Christ. See, I'm going to stand one day before the one who created me. And you are too. And the question is, what did you do with Jesus? Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.